Shut up and sit down.
Believe in yourself because you came all the way to here. That means you must have some talent. You must have some potential. Just don't throw it away by just giving up.
I let go of the handlebars. Let go of the handles. I let go of the handlebars. Letting go of the handles. Yeah, I can't keep my hands off you or off my bicycle.
I've told you once and I'll tell you again. Shut up, legs. I'd love to say that to Matt LeGrand, Evan Price, Lance Hepler, and Jake Von Doering as well, but I'd probably get canned from this gig. Nevertheless, enjoy the Dialed podcast.
Yes, showing up and participating is important. Trying your best is important, but neither deserves a trophy. If you want one of those, go win some.
You ate all the waffles?
Yes, I did.
Could have asked us if we wanted any.
Nuh-uh, if I give you the waffles, I won't get any.
Link, would you like a waffle?
There is no more waffles. I have them all.
Why, yes, Rhett. I think I would like two waffles.
You can't... You want two of them? I just don't know why you guys get all the waffles. You guys are being selfish.
Hi, and welcome back to the Dialed Podcast. I am Jake Fondering, and I'm here with Lance Friggin' Hepler.
Good morning. Mr. Frigging here for your listening pleasure.
It's so friggin' early. Friggin'.
Yeah, a little kind of a new thing today, huh?
Yeah, we're watching the tour. What stage are we on here, Lance?
We are on stage 13.
Lucky number 13.
It is the one with the finish on the Grand Colombier.
Uh-huh.
It is 7:30 in the morning on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And Jake and I are sitting at his house watching the final climb here, and we thought you'd give our thoughts as we watch it.
Unpack this thing as it happens live. That should be fun. Matt may or may not join us. Maybe. Yeah, he's dubering. Do you know what a duber is?
Is it like something to do with dropping kids off?
No. The pool?
Dad Uber?
He's dropping dad Uber, exactly.
Dad Uber, okay.
He's dropping a duber. The pool.
He's dubering around.
I need to shut up. It's too early for this. Coffee hasn't hit the veins yet. But he might be jumping in here with us in a little bit to watch the finish of this stage. Lance, how bad do you want to go there and ride this right now?
Oh my gosh. I mean, they're showing these helicopter clips of this Grand Colombier. Now we're in the Alps of France, and the road just looks fantastic. I want to be there.
It's just these glorious switchbacks just go up mountainsides, and it's laced with people all the way up, and it's just a giant party, and the group is suffering, and everybody else is having the best time of their life.
Have you ever ridden in Europe?
No. I have been to Europe once in my life, and I did not have a bicycle. That was back in my meathead days. I was a gym rat.
Okay.
So, yeah, we did a family cruise there, went through the Mediterranean and the French Riviera and all that other fun stuff. And I did ride a stationary bike because I wanted to get my cardio in and was hitting the gym and all that other stuff, but it was mostly just walking around. So I am looking forward to, I'm going back to Europe next year, and I'm going to be in France, and I'm going to go and witness a few stages of the tour.
Oh,
it's going to be glorious. It's a celebration of our 20th wedding anniversary. I will be turning 50 next year. I still can't say that. I'm going to be old like you do. And then my daughter's graduating from high school. So it's like kind of like this whole trifecta thing. And we're going to go there. And it's going to be kind of neat because my wife was emphatic. And I'm not going to say no, but she's like, we want you to see the tour. So we get to go to the tour. And we're still waiting for them to unleash or unload or unpack or announce, that's probably the best word to use right now, the extra tour so that we can look at like where the different stages are going to be and kind of pick and choose the ones that are going to be the best. But I'm really wanting to capture a stage on camera. Go take my camera and take pictures and video and try and, you know, get a bunch of cool stuff there. And I think I want to be in the French countryside on a hill climb, just like what we're looking at right now. So I'm going to be paying close attention. Grant, they probably won't go back through here next year, but there's this kind of stuff all the time. But I'm going to be paying close attention to a stage that's going to look a lot like what we're looking at right now because, man, that is glorious.
Oh, yes. It gets my heart rate up watching this stuff. I get too excited about it. But, yeah, I don't think I have, obviously, I've ridden in Europe, but not proper ridden in Europe, I should say.
A little foldable.
I had the little foldable bike. And then during that trip last fall, we stayed in Amsterdam for like 4 days. And I did one day where I went out and did like a 50-mile ride.
Yeah.
I went and rented a bike, a proper bike.
What kind of bike was it? Doesn't remember.
I don't remember. I think it was a BMC.
Was it really?
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
Yeah, I think it was. But yeah, it was just out. And I rode around Amsterdam, or not in the city, but like north of the city where it was beautiful. And I don't know what, there was 50 feet of climbing and 50 miles. Yeah. It was completely flat.
You got nothing better to do. Why don't you come over and ride with me next year and watch a tour?
Okay.
you can travel over with our bikes so we don't have to rent some janky beater bike. Although knowing them, they probably have some pretty nice bikes that you can rent.
I think renting a bike is pretty normal or easy, especially in the Alps region.
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, anywhere in France, you can rent a decent bike because there's a lot of bike tourism that happens.
Yeah.
But if you're there during the tour, I would imagine that might be hard to get.
You've got a very good point. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe if it's one of those things, if we know it well in advance, I can contact a shop or whatever and rent something ahead of time. That could be fun.
That could be fun. Hmm. Yeah, and traveling with your bike to Europe.
Yeah, not going to happen.
It's scary. Yeah. It's messy, especially if you have any like connection, like under 2 hours in any airport.
Yeah.
Your bike might not make it.
Yep.
So.
All right. So we have got the guys are pushing the pace pretty hard, but we've got currently there are 12 Ks to go. There's quite a bit of climbing still to go. You've got the Peloton that is chasing three groups. You got your lead group. You got Chase One, which, oh my gosh, the leaders, they're that far.
That Chase One is not right.
Yeah, it's saying 21 minutes.
Yeah, just did away with it.
Yeah, they just did. Okay, so you got your leaders, and then you've got Chase One, which has got a couple riders, and they're 10 seconds off, and then the Peloton is 3:37 behind. Will they catch them?
Yes.
You think they're going to catch the guys off the leaders off the front in that chase group that's trying to bridge up?
I do. No, I think the Peloton, I think Pogacar and Vingegaard and their teams will catch those leaders. They're 3.5 minutes back. There's 12K to go. This is a long, steep climb.
I have a sneaking suspicion that this stage is going to define the rest of the tour.
It could. Well, at least the next couple days. Look at that road. It's just... it's on a ridge in the Alp. It's just this serpentine road with
serpentine's
10
perfect
switchbacks.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks like a snake going up the side of a hill.
I want to ride that. Oh, geez.
Kind of looks like the Columbia River right there in the background, the way that kind of flows through there. We've got, who are the leaders in the group, that lead group? Is that Ineos that's pushing that up there?
It is. Let's see.
I can't tell who is in the break or who that is. Is that Martinez, maybe? Or is that young...
Kwiatkowski.
Is it Kwiatkowski?
Kwiatkowski just went off the front by himself. And the chasing group has Shaw, Tunison, Tejada, and Van Gils. So...
Okay, real quick. We've got our fantasy league here, and there's a lot of people that are playing along at home, and we've got some friends and some other podcast listeners that are doing this as well. Who did you pick to win the stage today, Lance?
I picked Pogacar.
You're looking at my notes again. You're cheating. Swear. Every move I make, Lance is there watching me.
I don't know. I mean, look at... man, he's kind of killing it right now. Kwiatkowski.
He's walking away.
Okay. So leading up to the bottom of the climb, Ineos was one of the teams driving, which was odd because they have their Kwiatkowski in the break, and then UAE was definitely driving for...
So you have to wonder, is Kwiatkowski up the road as a satellite rider to help somebody who's going to potentially bridge up? And who would that person be? Is it going to be Rodriguez or Pidcock? Which one would step up and take that spot?
Probably who's ever feeling good. I would think it'd be Rodriguez.
Think so, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say Pidcock just because I have him on my fantasy team.
But the group, the favorites are all still together. Mm-hmm. We've got four UAE guys with Pogacar. Vingegaard right on his wheel. It looks like Sepp Kuss right on Vingegaard's wheel. So he's still got some help, but UAE is driving it. So it looks like they're trying to launch. Pogacar.
Yeah. Now the tour, they're a couple sprinters lighter this morning. We've lost Caleb Ewing. We lost this today. Caleb Ewing just abandoned.
He like was off the back almost immediately, and he eventually just pulled out.
Kind of saw that coming a little bit. And then who did we lose yesterday? Fabio Jakobsen?
Fabio Jakobsen did not start stage 12 yesterday. He wasn't doing terribly, but he just was not recovering from the crash he had on the moto circuit.
Yeah.
And he could tell that he just wasn't the same. So he's like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Call it. That's unfortunate because he's a strong dude. And he's had such a rough go. And it was cool to see him come back. What was it, 2 years ago? And
3 years ago, Tour of Poland. He almost died.
Yeah. And then he came back a year later and won a couple stages of that tour.
Yeah.
Which was pretty neat. And it's kind of cool to see him, you know, still be there being one of the strong guys. But that hitting the deck at that high speed, that's just not a fun time. And that's tough to recover from when you have to go out there and do this day in and day out. And he is, he's going to go home now. So, there's no chance unless something happens that we're going to see a change in the green jersey. I really don't think that that's going to happen. I think that that's pretty much a done deal.
Philipson looks like he's got that wrapped up. Which is
who's even going to step up to him though in these big sprints? I mean, he's having his way with the sprints. He's just. Doesn't matter who's in there. It doesn't matter where he's at. He just finds his way to the front. And he just powers past everybody.
He does.
So, Jasper. And then still no word from Wout's wife. So he is still racing day to day, doing Wouty things. And we've got Tadej Pogacar today. I think he's going to win the stage. And I really do. I think that he's going to have some separation. I think he might actually even end up with that yellow jersey on his back because it's a 17-second differential.
17 seconds, he's got a lead. Yep. Somebody's calling.
Yep, that's my daughter's calling me for some reason this morning. I don't know why, but...
Isn't she upstairs?
Yes.
She's like, Dad, where are you?
Yeah. I don't know how it's going to unfold. I'm still trying to watch this, but they're really pushing the pace pretty hard.
There is a time bonus at the end of the stage, too, so Tadej might be going for that as well.
Yeah. How does it finish up? I mean, is it a hilltop finish? I haven't looked
at it. It is.
Okay.
It's a hilltop finish, but it flattens out just a little bit.
Okay.
But it's still considered a hilltop finish.
That actually favors, again, Tadej over Vingegaard.
It does.
Vingegaard wants it to be 18% still going uphill for the finish. We've got Ineos still off the front here. Kwiatkowski. Riding the Dogma. What do you think about those? You like those bikes? The Dogma?
The
Pinarellos?
I do. They're, what's wrong with them?
Oh, it's world-class, super expensive.
It's a world-class bike. Yeah. They're super expensive. Pinarellos are super expensive.
I don't know. When I look at those, they just have a little bit... they try to put too much swagger into them and make them look a little bit too aggressive, but I'm sure there's rhyme and reason for all of that, the way that carbon's laid up, but I digress. We'll leave that alone. Have to have opinions on everything, Jake. do you think Wout's going to play a role here? Is he still in there? Yeah, he's sitting on Vingegaard's wheel.
No, that is Sepp Kuss sitting on his wheel.
Are you sure? Because maybe you're right. Isn't that the Red Bull helmet? No, that's Sepp Kuss. You're right. You're right. So is Wout, did he drop off already?
It looks like he's dropped off.
Interesting. Well, that's the guy you want with you right there. Sepp Kuss.
Yep.
Is he still sitting in 10th place overall GC?
He is. I think he moved to like 11th.
Based on how this unfolds today and how he usually finishes.
No. Yes, Sepp is 11th.
11th?
Yep.
I bet you, well, who in the top 10 would potentially fall out of the top 10? Is there anybody that's fallen out of the GC pack here of the Peloton?
Yeah, I think both Yates brothers are going to drop out, but they're in 6th and 7th at the moment.
Are they still in there?
Yeah, they're in 6th and 7th.
Why? No. But are they still? I see Yates back there. I see
Adam Yates.
I see Simon in the back. I see the Jayco guys at the very back.
And
of that.
Adam is sitting behind Pogacar.
You got to think that he's going to uncork today and
UAE. Look at this is the first time we've seen this from UAE. They're driving it.
Mm-hmm. That's
Good for them.
That's a lot of suffering faces right there. And there's Jai Hindley back there behind UAE.
See, there's Adam just popped out.
Yep. Who was the Ineos guy that's who's the Ineos guy that's back there, like seventh or eighth wheel? Can you see that?
I think that's Rodriguez.
Gotcha. Wonder if Pidcock's sitting in there as well. We got a bunch of Americans standing on the side of the road watching this. That's kind of cool. A bunch of polka dot jerseys that we're going to have to get one of those for Matt and Evan's little bet that they've got going on whether Nielsen Palace is going to remain in polka dots to the end of the tour. What would you be wearing on the side of the road, Lance? I'm curious to know.
I would want all my friends to recognize me, so I would wear something dialed. I'd wear something orange or dialed.
One of the...
like
an orange Borat singlet?
Yeah, I could do that. I could pull that off.
Oh, that hurts my brain just thinking about that.
What would you wear? Because everybody's wearing like the t-shirts that they're given. There's all these people are in polka dot jerseys, polka dot t-shirts.
They kind of drive through there and hand that stuff out, right? Yes.
Yeah. There's
good marketing.
Yeah. The marketing vans go through like an hour before and they pass out hats and stuff. I guess I have never been there.
Interesting. What would I wear? Well, if I was donning orange, I mean, automatically you got to go hang out with the Dutch people almost, but then you're just drowning out in all the other orange. So I don't know. I'd have to come up with something that would be kind of fun and interesting. Oh,
look at that.
Look who's here. We thought that you were dropping the kid off at school still at 7:45.
Well, what are we drinking? What kind of booze are we drinking here?
Pick your poison.
We got Matt LeGrand. He has stepped in and joined us. That's good.
Matt LeGrand, would you like a cup of coffee?
I would love one if it's available, but it's not a big deal if it's not.
No, I think we've got some coffee. So hold tight. I'm going to step away and go make Matt a cup of coffee, and I'll let Lance get Matt caught up.
What am I missing? They're on the climb.
They're on the climb. There is 8 kilometers
to
go.
5 miles to go.
Yeah. Have you watched any of it yet this morning?
I had it on this morning, but it was, they were like coming up to the climb or something like that. Nothing too crazy. But looks like the Peloton should be pulling in the front pack. 3 minutes.
They're at 3:13 at the moment.
Are they going to make it?
I think that the Peloton's going to catch them. The UAE is going to drive.
I would expect so.
But this is Kwiatkowski.
Kwiatkowski can climb.
He is attacked off the front of the breakaway.
Looks like he wants the stage.
And
he can climb.
Maybe they won't
he's
catch
a
him. Oh, my
he's
gosh.
He's a legit climber.
Did you just see that? Did you see that?
I didn't see. Someone was like, there we go.
There's bare ass.
We got butt cheek in the...
butt cheeks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the coffee, Jake.
You saw Lance's butt cheeks.
I think I saw Kwiatkowski pick up the pace when that guy ran up.
A guy ran through like this pants pulled down.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think he had any pants at all. I don't think they were pulled down. They were just missing
like
in action.
He had a pair of underwear that were pulled down.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. So there were butt cheeks for a moment there.
I don't know. Is NBC going to get fined for that?
I hope so.
Well, this is on cable, right? It's not, but they're not cussing, you know? I don't know.
Sure.
I feel like butt cheeks are legit these days.
So since this is streamed over an app and it's not something that's broadcast over the air, do they have to abide by all the FCC?
Oh, that guy almost got clocked by the motorcycle. Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah.
The crowds are getting feisty on the climb.
I have no idea what the rules are there. Mm.
Yeah.
My guess is that NBC would not want to.
No. They have their own internal rules that probably don't have anything to do with the laws.
Matt Lance is going to be there next year, and he's going to go wear the orange Borat singlet thing, and his butt cheeks are going to be hanging out.
His normal swimsuit, you mean?
Yeah.
I think it's green. Is the Borat suit green or orange?
The Borat suit's green. I don't have one, but I need to get one.
That's the speed suit that he's wearing these days. So.
The speed suit. Yeah. I'm excited to see that. It'll be on the tour.
Oh, got people falling off the back of this.
This is
cracking.
It's a hot train.
It just went hard.
Yeah.
Who is that right there? Is that
Thibaut Pinot?
He hasn't done anything. Poor guy.
Well, he moved looked up like, the other day.
He was trying yesterday. Yesterday, he looked like he was trying to win the stage. But
that wasn't going to happen. And then Garou seems like he's kind of slipping a little bit too, right?
He's still in like ninth or tenth.
And today, is today Bastille Day?
Yes. It is.
So that's a big one.
The French want to do French things on Bastille Day. And
well, we all want what we want. Mm-hmm. And I want a pony, and it's I don't have a pony at my house. So
Ineos is looking well represented. Jumbo Visma has got a couple guys there. Sepp and
Kuss. Only Sepp is looking good.
Bingo only has Sepp.
I can see Kwiatkowski going the whole way. That guy's legit climber. He's got 3 minutes.
That's, they were going to get caught, and they are not pulling back.
4 miles and change to go. How far off is Kwiatkowski? No, where's our time gaps?
He's 3.5. He's 3 minutes back from
on the real climbers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
They'll put time into him, but I don't think they're gonna catch him. 4 miles. That's a lot. I don't know. That's a lot when you're climbing 9, 10, 11% grades here.
That's a lot.
I think that is this the Grand Colombier, or was that the name of the climb?
Yeah.
I think there's like even higher grades than this. But I think when I saw the profile, I think it was like steep at the beginning, and then it kind of like levels off or goes down for a second, and then climbs up again.
We're going to see fireworks here in just moments, if you ask me. We're 4.2 miles out from the finish. I'm going to say it's going to be right around 3 miles that you're going to see a big explosion from Tade and from Jonas. And
it might be less than that just because of the way the climb goes. I think it goes like up for a little bit and then it almost like levels off and then it goes up again towards the finish.
Wherever that pitchy...
That second pitch. Okay. And that second pitch goes all the way to the finish. Yeah. We'd have to look at the profile of the climb. That would be...
Lance had it up. I don't know.
We need the details, Lance.
I was just, see.
Oh, yeah, okay. Is that the climb part? No, this is the climb part there. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So see how it's probably leveled off right there where they are. Yikes.
They're going to go pretty soon.
You're right. Look at Kwiatkowski, man. Beast. Repping the Garmin heart rate monitor.
So the... Yeah.
I think Garmin is an Ineos whatever. Sponsor, provider,
they
something.
Just, they just had a shot of Kwiatkowski and with the director of the tour, that red car that follows the leader all the time behind, and he had his head out the window screaming at a fan for a moment there. You can imagine that.
There's a love-hate relationship there. The cyclists, the racers, the pros, they get really invigorated by these people, but they turn into idiots so quickly.
You just don't. Yeah, it's like it's that like, the fine line of like cheer as loud as you can, don't interrupt the riders.
Yeah,
it's
who was it last? I think it was last year. Was it Case Pole or was it Mohorovic or something? Anyway, he was flying and a fan was looking down the road. It was almost like that Oma Opa thing.
Kind of looking the wrong.
They were looking the wrong way. And he ran into him and broke his neck. Do you remember that?
Oh,
yeah.
And he finished the stage, mind you. And then after they took X-rays, like, yeah, you're done.
Yikes.
Oh, these guys are suffering so much. We got some...
Okay, so for me, it looks like Tade's UAE group is on the front pushing the pace. They're trying to break Vingegaard and put some time in there. They need that, what is it, 17 seconds or something, the difference between those?
17 seconds. So they need 17 seconds. There's a time bonus. There's an 8-second time bonus.
That's a lot.
For the 8.53 or something like that. But that
might not ever happen if the first three guys go through. Or do they do that time bonus only for the GCs?
No,
how does that work?
It's for the first three guys.
So that finishers, theoretically, that might never happen if Kwiatkowski gets off the front.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's only 6 riders ahead of them. They're catching them.
They are down to 2:43.
UA is pushing the limit for a lot of these riders, and they're shedding people. And I think that's the game plan. They know that they're not going to shed Jonas, and they're not going to shed Sepp, and they just want to get it more down to more of an elite group. And then they want to push the pace and get them up to that launch pad, and it's going to be fireworks. It's going to be those two guys. We haven't even seen Sepp go yet, so hopefully he jumps towards the front here, or maybe he's going to sit in when Tade goes just to give Jonas some extra support.
When Tade goes, I'm sure Sepp's job is to slowly pull him back in. Mm-hmm.
They're not going
to
do anything with UAE driving at the front. He's still got He's still got 3 guys, and one of those guys is Adam Yates.
Yikes.
Yeah. Where's Evan telling us that Pogacar's going to crack and Yates is going to win the stage?
Yeah. Oh man!
No,
we need Price.
Evan picked Simon Yates for the win
today. Okay,
for today's win.
He's still going to tell you though that Pogacar's going to pop in.
Yeah,
and you never know.
But honestly, he could be right every single time. Like yesterday, and then the day before, sprint. These are sprint state or whatever. Yesterday was kind of a little climbing stage.
Yeah,
but like every single time, I feel like Pogacar's sprinting at the end of these things. Did you watch
yesterday's race?
Yeah, and I saw him sprint, and I'm like, what are you doing, man?
I could hear Matt's voice over that. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You're an idiot. Save it.
Those matches. I mean, here's the thing. Maybe they're on some sort of magical drugs where it's like, you can sprint all you want to. It is not going to affect you. I don't know.
Doing his leg openers for the race tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe I have no idea like where these guys' recovery metrics are, but like, and maybe it has no effect on them. I don't know.
Who is that right there?
Movie star guy? I don't know.
Okay. What team is he on?
Movistar.
Oh, it's Movistar. Gotcha. I said movie star.
Yeah.
Well, he's a movie star.
There's just certain
things. Look at him on camera. Yeah. Is he a movie star or a movie star?
There you go.
Riddle me that.
Movie star. And then the guy right there in the yellow, what team is he on?
Jumbo Visma.
Jumbo.
I've caught flack from people, and I've said it Jumbo. Too. Jumbo. It's not Jumbo. It's Jumbo. It's not movie star. It's movie star.
Okay. American pronunciations are always correct.
Okay. Something like that.
So let's just stand by those.
Pogacar.
Yeah.
We could just have Guerrero. A whole podcast on all the things that we mispronounce about riders and the whole tour. And
what was there something second. I was saying the yesterday I was talking to David Goodman, and I was like, oh yeah, I used to have a Specialized Alez with a Z on the end of it. I was like, there's a Z on the end of it. Because he was like it's Alay.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was like, did you study French? He's like, yes, I did at UCLA.
French?
Yeah.
He did?
He studied, I think he majored in music, but...
He studied French. He took some French courses in college,
I did not know that.
Yep.
I thought
yep.
he was
so ask him pronunciation on Alay.
Yeah.
Alay. And I was like, oh yeah, Alay, Alay, Alay. It's like go yeah. in French. But American Alez with a Z. You got to pronounce it correctly, guys. But that was like the first road bike I ever bought.
Yeah.
Specialized Alez.
What was the first road bike you ever had, Lance?
I think it was a Nishiki.
Oh, the Nishiki. No, I know that bike brand.
My first road bike that I actually bought and actually rode was a Trek.
Okay.
Yeah. I bought a Project One Trek.
Ooh,
used crazy. On Craigslist.
Okay.
Was this when you were getting into triathlon?
Yeah.
Were you like, I got to have a bike.
I got to have a road bike.
Trek's a good brand. Let's do that. Yeah. The same thing for my Specialized. I was like, whatever. I was like, I need a bike today. I don't care if it fits correctly.
I think mine was a Felt F2C.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good bike.
Because you had friends within Felt.
Yep, sure did.
Nice.
And then I rode that bike for 3 years, I think it was. And then I ended up selling it to get the Felt AR. But the, I'm trying to remember this name. I ended up selling it to a guy that actually races like rally cars and does like time trialing stuff, but he races for Red Bull.
Oh, wow.
He was like an Australian or New Zealander guy, and he like inquired about the ad that I had posted before it came over. We chatted for the longest time. He was such a cool dude. He was like telling me stories. I'm like,
yeah.
And I almost didn't believe him. Then I looked his name up, and I'm like, holy crap. Like, you're looking at the Pikes Peak, and like he like had a record on that racing, like, whoa. This old Red Bull. I'm like, you're legit, dude. That's pretty cool. So,
wow.
Never got to ride with him, but fun times.
All right, back to the Peloton. 3 minute. Oh wait. So the real group that is 2:20 behind the leaders. It looks like they're gonna catch them.
Probably gonna catch them. I'm still 2.5
miles. I'm still rooting for Kwiatkowski to pull it off.
I don't think it's gonna happen because we haven't even seen the fireworks. They're just all setting paces right now.
They haven't They haven't broken into. Well, but maybe sometimes the fireworks when it comes down to like those punchy, you know, like Vingegaard straight up versus Pogacar, it could turn out that they're playing tactics against each other and maybe they'll slow down a touch. Yeah. Who knows?
They have this so calculated. They know every inch of the road. They know how fast everybody's going. They know how far back they need to be or how far back they shouldn't be to not be able to catch people off the front. So,
well, especially if they're thinking about those time bonuses.
Exactly. And that's probably why UA is sitting up there, because they want that time bonus and they think that Tade is going to be able to put it to Jonas and at least cross the finish line first.
You would think that if it came down to a sprint at the end of this little climb, that Tade would probably snag those 8 seconds. But then
that's why he's been doing all that sprint training for.
Every day.
Yes.
Every day is practice for his sprint training. He's looking for the green. He's going for green here, guys. Is second place 6 second bonus?
I think it's five. I think it goes so 8.53.
Okay. So, yeah.
Call your shot, guys. Who's going to go across first? Matt, do you have a pick for that? Lance and I both said Tade.
I was going to go with Kwiatkowski, but now I'm looking at it and I think.
Jonas looks pretty relaxed back there. I don't know.
I would say Tade because but I don't think that he would end up in yellow. That's my thought process. 17 seconds is not very much, but it's enough to.
It's going
to
be close. I mean, if you can pick up. What was the time bonuses? It was like 8 and 5 or something like that.
8, 5, 3 or something.
So the 3 second net there for him if he were to come in, if they were coming first and second respectively, and
I think he could put a little gap into
5, 10 seconds.
Yep.
So it'll be close, but it's not quite there. But that just falls right in line with him chipping away every single day.
And then I think that as we get into the steeper climbs, in the longer stuff, Vingegaard puts time into Pogacar the other way around.
That could be the case.
And he stays in yellow and
rides it to the Champs.
And I become victorious in my predictions for our podcast.
Matt, you're still not doing very well, although you did make some changes.
The first week was so bad. Actually, I'm still making mistakes where I'm just like not, because you really need to like pay attention to the fantasy league and you actually have to pick a winner for each day.
Yeah.
And I just have not been doing that. And so I have no chance. I think I'm dead last still. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm slowly grinding my way up the 15 person.
No. Kwiatkowski out of the saddle. He's pushing.
And usually in fantasy leagues, if you're dead last, there's some sort of punishment.
Ooh.
Matt, yes, you're dead last.
Yeah. Okay. Got to keep my dead last position.
Guess who's second to last? Scott Troutman.
He just posted on Instagram like a picture, a screenshot of him winning the overall stage and made it look like he was in first place overall. I'm like, you just won the stage.
And he just barely won it.
Yeah. Good on him, though.
He goes.
Nice.
Oh. Kwiatkowski, man. He's looking pretty good. Look at all those people there.
Yeah. So there's polka dot jerseys everywhere, which we'll talk about this for a second. Nielsen Palsen. Do we think that he is going to still hold on to this for the rest of the race?
Not for the rest of the race, but he's got a sizable, 20-point lead or something like that?
He's got a 20-point lead.
A lot of these climbs are like 20 points at the top.
Correct.
So he's not going to keep it.
I'm guessing he's with the peloton at the back of this whole shindig thing going on here. Did he go with any of the groups? So he's not really going to pick up any points.
He's 3 minutes and 30 back at the peloton. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because they're not showing the polka dot in the...
Unless he got dropped already. Did he get dropped already?
Would he be off the back with respect to the peloton?
It seems like he would be with the peloton, but not with the yellow group leader. So 3.5 minutes back, not 2 minutes back. That's what I would guess.
Yeah, they usually
the UAE guy. Good job, bud.
Yeah, they usually show like where the green jersey's at, so where Jasper would be, and then where the polka dot jersey would be, which would be Nielsen, but they're not showing that right now. So usually they would plunk that down in the peloton, but I'm guessing that they're both off the back and just kind of packing it in, taking it easy today.
It's possible.
Supposed to be the king of the mountains there, Nielsen. Where are you, buddy?
Oh, I'd love to see an American get something.
I would love to have a closer look at that yellow group because there's 12 riders in there. It's possible that our broadcast is not doing it.
They've shed a few riders in there, but you still have Sepp in there. You got your American right there, Lance. But
yeah, that's true.
He's got one job, and it's to pull Jonas for a bit.
I wonder if in the back of their mind they're thinking like, hey, yes, Sepp is... has one job to do, but at the same time, like, he is their backup GC because he is, what is he, like 10th overall or 11th
as of today? Yeah,
that's not bad.
No, I mean, yeah, they wouldn't turn him loose unless something happened to Jonas.
This is the smart move for these guys. Send him up front and wait for, like, see, so like
Sepp
and Jonas have to go. Yep. They have to chase him down, and then UAE doesn't have to do any work.
So UAE still had 3 riders in front of Tade and Sepp, or pardon me, Sepp. Adam Yates just attacked, which was a great move.
It's a good move.
Sepp had to jump up, and he is pulling them back. And because Sepp goes, then Tade goes.
And Vingegaard goes behind Tade. It looks okay for Tade. For Vingegaard right now. I mean, that was a smart move by UAE. That's exactly what they should be doing. Like a 1-2 punch. But Jumbo also has a 1-2 punch.
They're not going to catch.
They don't care if Sepp goes.
There's 1 mile to go. I thought they were going to go sooner than this.
Kwiatkowski.
No.
Oh, boy. I'm excited that Kwiatkowski's going to get away.
Yeah, 2 minutes. They're not going to cover
that. Also plays into our time bonus issues.
So they've got Chase 1 and Chase 2 still to catch. If they want to get any of those time bonuses, they're going to have to get after it here pretty soon.
It's too bad that they just say chase one, chase two. I would like to have names. How fast are these guys coming back?
Yeah, the gradients right now are
8%.
Yeah, anywhere from 8 to it's kind of undulating. I was expecting more fireworks than this, guys.
I think more fireworks are coming tomorrow.
You think so, huh?
Yep, I think so.
This would have been a fun stage to see a little bit more of that. I thought that this was going to be a more of a defining stage.
I just don't think it's high enough yet. I don't think we're deep into the Alps yet. We have to look at tomorrow's stage and see.
We've got three more ugly stages coming up.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is just as hard with an HC climb and two Cat 1s and
it does have
three Cat 1s and a Cat 3.
Downhill finish, though.
Yeah.
So maybe Sunday is the day. Ooh.
Sunday has three Cat 1s, a Cat 2, and a Cat 3. I mean, yeah, these next 3 days are terrible.
They're going to be deciding the tour, I think, the next 3 days. We'll see.
Still no fireworks. We're just inside of 2K to go.
1K to go for the leader. For
the leader, yeah.
So 2K for the, yeah. So they're not catching him. Kwiatkowski's going to do it.
He's got it. Well, good on Ineos because they've been such a disappointment this whole tour. They haven't really done anything. I mean, they're not doing terrible. I mean, they've got some guys in the top 10 of GC, but...
No, they don't.
When have you seen them pushing the pace, doing what they normally do, doing Ineos things in the tour?
Rodriguez is in fourth and Pidcock is in
Where's
eighth.
Kwiatkowski at?
Kwiatkowski is not.
He's down the list quite a ways. I mean, this is just a stage hunting day for these guys. Good on him, though. You got Adam Yates still pushing the pace at the front and sitting on his wheel. You've got Sepp Kuss, and then sitting on Sepp Kuss's wheel, you got Pogacar, and then on Pogacar's wheel, you've got Jonas Vingegaard.
And look, there's who else is back there?
It's got to be Pidcock.
Is it? It
looks. Or is like that Rodriguez? Maybe it's the Rodriguez kid.
It's an Ineos rider.
That has to be Rodriguez.
That's good for him. He's moving up, probably. I don't know.
Is he Rodriguez
still sitting fourth in GC?
Oh, yes. It's all like all the GC guys
and
are still
Simon
there.
Yates still there. There's Yai Hindley.
Vingegaard, Pogacar, Hindley, Yao Yates, Bilbao, and
do you think we see Jai Hindley or
and
Simon
Adam,
Yates
like, and Simon Yates
attack off the back and like kind of get these guys?
It won't matter. Pogacar's not going to let anyone attack. Oh, all right. So that's did someone just break there? Can't tell what's going on with Ineos.
There's so much like good chaos. There's just so many people and things and cars and riders. It's everywhere. How do you guys feel about the little smoke flare things that people...
It's terrible.
That drives me... I mean, it looks cool, but it drives me crazy. I'm like, that's the last thing I want to be inhaling.
It is the last thing.
All right, so there's your time bonuses. Ooh, you got 10
seconds. Oh, it's 10.64, not 8.64. 10.64.
That's great, except for it's not going to come into play.
Kwiatkowski
assuming...
Kwiatkowski's going to get the 10.
Someone's going to get third.
Maybe.
So... Someone could get the 4 second time bonus. I would assume Pogacar. Good stage for him.
Still pace setting there.
Look, now there's only
five
of them.
All right, so they're going to catch one. People. So it's looking like this group still have a third place finisher here.
On the next kick, you
got to think Pogacar's going to
jump out and just go. And I don't think Jonas will go with him, but I think that he's still going to get
a
couple seconds.
Yep.
The flatter finish, and there's your winner right there, Kwiatkowski. Good job, buddy.
Wow.
There he goes.
There he goes. Vingegaard goes right on his wheel. And
Rodriguez is trying to go with him.
Trying to go with him,
this
but he's not
favors
going to.
Pogacar, though.
Oh, my gosh. Pogacar is drilling it. He is just out of the saddle drilling it. Vingegaard is there. He's staying with him.
Fading a little bit. Nope. Oh.
Come on. Hold on. Vingegaard.
It's not going to happen. Pogacar's going to put 3 or 4 seconds.
Again.
He wants that time bonus. Okay,
he's
just passed
the 4 second time bonus.
This is it, right? Here.
Is he gonna get? So it's only a second. It's kind of like what we said before. Like he'll get a time bonus, but it's not gonna be enough.
Seconds
to get a
up
jersey.
Ahead.
Is he gonna get?
He's gonna get the 4 seconds. Is he gonna get third and get the 4 seconds?
Nice.
Nope. He's not gonna get him. He's gonna get third place. So
he's
gonna
third.
Get and a few seconds. So he's gonna pick up about 7 or 8 seconds net on that.
Maybe 9 seconds he's going to pick up.
Jonas needs a push off just
to
get out of the way.
To the very end.
Yeah. I thought
Rodriguez
he was going to go sooner.
Rodriguez did well. He hung on. Yep. There's Jai Hindley.
Yep.
all those guys did well to keep the front of the GC the same or similar.
There's Simon Yates. He just lost a little bit of time. There's Adam Yates.
That's good for Sepp Kuss.
Sepp Kuss is rolling in.
He's not. It's probably not going to be like a big move for him, but he might move into the top 10.
Woo.
Pull up your fantasy rosters there, boys. Let's see how you did on the day.
It's not going to be finished yet.
It's going to constantly be updating as riders come across the line here, but I'm curious to see what ends up happening. Is that your boy right there? Oh, Ben O'Connor? No, I don't think that was him. Who was that from AG2R?
It looked like Ben O'Connor was trying to do like win a stage, I don't know, yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't know. It was. I'm not sure if he's still thinking about his GC standings.
Michael Kwiatkowski from Poland. Second career Tour de France stage win. Good job.
Good for him, man.
Yeah.
I didn't think he had a chance. It was only like 40 seconds to 30 seconds. So they pulled back quite a bit, but not enough.
Ineos finally does something.
Ineos finally does.
Is that Rodriguez coming up and giving him a hug?
Ooh, see, tomorrow they're finishing in Morzine. Guess where I ran with it? With Lance Armstrong when I did my little... Did I tell you guys I like ran next to them in the tour? I haven't told you guys this story yet.
No.
Okay, so 2003, I think.
I think I might remember. I like tell it again for
took
sure.
Took a one-way ticket to from, I don't know, U.S. to Paris. This was at the time of Freedom Fries and shortly after... this was like...
after 9/11?
Yes. And, well, it was after 9/11 and then the U.S., like, had this like invasion of Iraq, and so it was like France wasn't part of the coalition of the willing, if you remember all of this. Do you remember all of this stuff? It's like George Bush. And so there was like a bit of a anti-France movement where it was like, we're going to call them Freedom Fries and not French Fries. And there's another name for French toast. I don't remember what the French toast name was. Tickets to Paris were dirt cheap. I want to say $200 or something like that.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I didn't have that much money. And I just took a one-way ticket to Paris. And I was like, well, I'm just going to like bum around Europe for a while. And I did. And then some of the people that I met up with were like, yeah, we're going to go check out the tour, follow the tour around for a little bit. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Because I was just like, the whole thing was like, whatever, sure, I'll go. You want to go to Spain? Sure, we'll go to Spain.
Yeah.
And that's when I started dating Kristen, my wife. And we went to the French Alps and we saw a stage... and then the next stage was like in this town, Morzine, which is this tiny little town in the French Alps. And they don't have, it's not like a standard spot for the tour to finish, but it's French Alps, it's mountains. And so we go to this tiny town and we find like a, you know, little hostel to stay in. It was an awesome place. Tiny little mountain town. We absolutely adored the spot. There was like this beautiful lake where people could just chill out. There was just all kinds of like amazing views and stuff like that. And of course, the tour's there, so it was absolutely crazy. I was fitter than I am now, we'll say. I had my friend paint an American flag on my back, and I ran 10K down the mountain, found the like leaders. Like I was looking for US Postal, and it was like Lance Armstrong or whatever. Ran with him. I'm on camera, and I'm in like the DVDs of the 2000, I think it's 2003.
Oh, really?
Whatever. Yep.
That's awesome.
And ran like up the stage with him with an American flag on my back or whatever. And then they were going so fast that I could only stay with him for like a blip, you know, a blip of a second or whatever.
Sure.
Did the best I could. And then as I'm running back 10K back up the mountain, it's very interesting because there's crowds of people and things like that. So you can't move very well. So you're like running some, walking some, kind of pulling on and off. And I get to a point in the peloton where I'm running faster than the cyclists up this hill because it is amazing to see the difference in pace between these front guys that are actually going for GC points or whatever.
Sure.
And the back groups that are just like, yep, let's just finish up. They're talking, they're conversational, and
they're
they are
cruising
just,
it in.
Just like the pace, you know, obviously it was probably less than 7 miles an hour because I'm running up this hill faster than them. It's crazy. Crazy difference in pace.
Did they say anything to you?
The cyclist? No.
No.
No one said anything to me. I just had to get back to Morzine.
But
then we spent an entire...
You're running past them, though. They have to acknowledge that. And if you're holding a pace and you just keep going...
No, I don't think so. Because there are other people that are kind of like doing the same thing. And you can't tell who's like running a 10K back to Morzine and who's just like trying to like run to get to a different spot to cheer. And it was tricky because you have basically like... cliffs and stuff. Like, there was no place to go on the side of the road. And so you're kind of like, wait for a clear spot to try and, you don't want to get in anyone's way, but you want to be able to get on the road to run up this little hill or mountain or whatever as the case may be. But then we stayed in Morzine for an entire week because we loved the town.
Sure.
So tour moved on out, and we were like, yeah, we'll stay in this, you know, because they only allow you to stay in these hostels a certain amount of days before they're like, yeah, you need to leave. And we were like, let's max this thing out because this place is just gorgeous.
Sure.
Yeah.
How many points do you have on the day there, Lancer?
I only had 600 points, I think.
How are you doing?
600 points, that's my total.
So far, I only have 600 points because I still have three guys yet to finish. Wout, like, threw the parachute out, it looks like.
Uh-huh.
He was way down, and I do have Wout on my team.
You have Nielsen, too, who was not even on the radar there.
No.
I thought that was a good pick. I almost did it, too, and then you did it. I'm like, I don't want to have the same team as you, so I left mine as is, and they did pretty well for me today.
Yeah, you did better than I did, for sure.
See where we're at.
I still beat you, Matt.
Yeah, no surprise there. I'm giving up. I've got MVP on there, and I put him on there in the beginning because I thought he would do well the first week, and he has had a rough tour.
I thought you were going to get yourself a lot of points yesterday.
Almost.
And he imploded.
He was.
I don't even know how I did yesterday. Probably
he was in the attack in the break.
It looked
and
good.
Then he fell apart.
Right, so tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, yesterday was not good.
Do you think it's going to be a rinse and repeat of what we saw today, or do you think it's going to be a little bit more aggressive with the GC group trying to like create some separation?
I think we'll see some fireworks tomorrow.
Think so, huh?
Same thing. I mean, okay, so Pogacar attacked at the very top, hoping to get, you know, I think that he was hoping that the pace that his teammates were setting was going to stretch it out even more. But
you're not going to drop Jonas. I mean, he's going to stay right there with you.
Didn't drop any of them. Didn't drop five main
But
guys.
Maybe this is all, if I was Pogacar, maybe like this is what I need to do. Like, hey, all I need to do is snag 5 seconds every day. And I love sprinting at the end of every stage. So might as well.
Yeah. Well, he gapped him by 4 seconds and he got the time bonus. What was the time bonus for third?
4 second bonus. So he made up eight seconds.
So he's down to 9 seconds.
He's 9 seconds behind.
If he keeps doing this, he'll be fine.
Which is what he did in 2020. He was just fine. Roglic had a massive lead on him, and he was down at one point by three minutes, but he chipped away and chipped away.
Wasn't it the time trial in 2020?
That's when he went above him.
But I don't think that there's I don't think the time trial that they have is going to be enough to make
a
big difference.
If he's 7 seconds behind now, like this time in 2020, he was probably 2.5 minutes back.
Yeah.
And he just would come out every single day, and he would put in chunks of time. And then we came down to that last time trial, and then he had to beat him by like a minute or something like that?
It was a lot.
And beat him like almost by two, so...
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Jonas does better on some steeper, higher things, that's my prediction. So potentially the next 2 days will be very interesting
There's
to see.
Many Cat 1s and a few HCs.
And I do think
that
we'll
2 days.
I think we'll really kind of have a good feel for how this is going to end up after the next 2 days.
Ah, man, it's exciting. Nielsen Palace still has the Pogačar jersey. Now Pogacar is in second and Kwiatkowski is in third.
Because Kwiatkowski just got 20 points, basically.
Yeah, so he has 30 points now, and
Pogacar got a
31.
Couple points for the mountain, too.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter. I would love for Paulus to be able to hold on to the jersey. It's not going to happen. Sorry.
It's probably not going to happen.
I bet you he loses it in the next 2 days, because Pogacar is going to be up there somewhere. He's going to be getting somewhere between 20 points and... I don't know. We'll see if they let a front group go off the front. If so, Palace probably needs to be in that break to just pick up those intermediate points.
He just has to be in the break to get it. Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That's a lot. They're just showing a replay of the point where Pogacar went for it. It's a lot of power, man. It's a lot of power.
Good for Jonas that he held that to only a 4 second gap. Oh, man. So, Matt, was it as crazy being at the tour on the side of the road?
Well, you got to remember this is 20 years ago. So things have changed in 20 years, I think. Maybe not. I don't know, because I'm not there now. I mean, look how thick that crowd is. It was probably that thick in Morzine or whatever, which is why I wanted to go as far away as possible.
You wanted to get further down where you
could be.
As far
away as possible, because I wanted to be able to run next to the riders.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we don't want people to do.
Because Jake says he's going to be there for probably a couple stages next summer. Okay. So,
I'll be your man on location. I'm going to go hang out with Steve Perino.
Okay, you'll have to call into the podcast.
Yeah, Lance, call Steve. I know you know Steve.
I have Steve's personal cell phone number.
Yeah,
I could actually text him and he knows who I am.
I will show up and I will live broadcast the hell out of that. Bring microphones. Ooh. I can.
People are like patting Jonas on the back as he's like
as he's
sprinting.
Finishing.
Look at his face. Look at that suffer face right there. What do you think is going through his head? He's like, God dang it, I just lost 4 seconds and another 4 seconds.
I think this is
all. He held it though.
Here's what I think. I think it's all about your perspective and your attitude. If you go into it and you're like, oh, dang it, I lost. I keep losing this guy. I can't beat him. You're telling yourself you can't beat him. Or is he telling himself, I did exactly what I needed to do today. That was perfect.
You can't keep telling yourself that when you're losing time every single stage for the last week.
I think you can if you know, like, we're about to get into some steep stuff and that's where I do better.
I don't disagree with you, but I still think that Tade is going to stick right there with him. I don't see a massive explosion.
Last year, it was very telling to see those two race and how bad Vingegaard was, like, just beating him on the big steep stuff.
Yeah,
and we all thought, oh yeah, Tade's going to go, and then you realize, nope, Jonas is the stronger rider here. Yeah. That's what we saw last year. Could be different this year. I have no idea.
There's no rope-a-dope. The not having Roglic there and beating the snot out of him. That was
a
mistake. That was uncalculated. You have to do that because you didn't know which one of those guys was going to be your GC. That seemed like...
That was an amazing... That was one particular stage last year.
11 or 12 or something
like
that.
And they just Roglic went, Pogacar had to cover. And it was just like, bam, bam, over and over and over again.
It was Roglic's attack.
I was like, this is
Jonas' attack.
This is a Jumbo beating.
Yeah.
This is what this is.
And that was extremely well played. And he succumbed to that. And that's when Jonas put in a big time chunk on him.
And I think it took the rest of the tour out of him. I think he was done.
Yeah.
And I think they said, like, oh, he got dehydrated and all this stuff. And I was like, they should know better than
that. He also had his backside handed to him by the biggest and best team on the planet at that point in time. And I think UAE got a little bit better. And he's got better support this year. And he does. I don't see a second guy from Jumbo. Like, what did Sepp do today? Sepp didn't do anything.
He probably did more than we realized because he was probably...
He pulled back the move.
Adam Yates move.
But they're going uphill. I mean, what are you pulling back? I mean, Jonas could have done that just by himself. It's not like you're getting a massive draft advantage from that.
Not a lot, but he did help.
Well, what was interesting is Seb made that, he pulled back Yates, and then it wasn't Jonas Vingegaard that was ahead of, or right behind Sepp Kuss. It was Pogacar that was there. And so it was kind of interesting. Like, I felt like Jonas didn't have to do any work. He was sitting in fourth comfortably.
Yeah.
Well, and again, we're not seeing huge drafting when you're on these big hills, but still, I think it helps to have your lieutenant or super domestique. And who knows how much like water he was handing him or gels or whatever. We don't know.
Yeah, that's true too. Finishing bottles. They've got the stat up on the TV right now. Last three mountain stages, Pogacar's picked up 44 seconds. So these mountain stages that we're going into, like, how drastically different are they going to be from what we've already been seeing these last three mountain stages? They're
higher altitude, more like repeated category one climbs.
True. I'd like to look at the total stats for the ride. Like, you know, what's the distance and what's the elevation gain and how much
is
more egregious
climb? More zine. There we go.
Yeah. Tomorrow is 150 kilometers and you can't ever tell how much climbing these are, but this is probably 15,000 feet of climbing.
Yeah, it's insane.
And the next day is,
I don't remember more
than 180 kilometers.
Sunday's finish right there.
Yeah.
Look at that finish right there.
That looks bad. That looks like a day where they're like, yep, this is going to be a decider.
Is that a Cat 1 finish?
It's a Cat 1.
Is there an HC?
There's not.
Okay.
But there's three Cat 1s and a Cat 2 and a Cat 3.
Interesting.
Huh. I think it looks like Sunday is going to be a big day.
The next 2 days are going to be big days.
The next 2 days are going to be big days, but I think Sunday is going to be the one where we see like who's going to be the winner.
You're probably right.
All right, we'll see what happens.
So, did Nielsen come across yet? Did he maintain polka dots today?
Yeah, I think he should.
Yes,
have.
He did maintain it. We talked about that when you stepped out. Okay. He still has 46 points, and now Pogacar's in second with 31 points.
Gotcha.
And Kwiatkowski's in third because he just picked up 20 points.
Oh, wow.
Kwiatkowski has 30 points.
Do you think that Ineos, because they haven't done anything else, might look at that as something to target, getting the polka dot jersey?
No.
You don't think so?
Because Pidcock is in fifth now. No, that's for the stage. Pidcock and
Martinez.
Martinez are both still in there. Pidcock's in eighth.
Martinez in fourth, yeah.
Where and did he get? Rodriguez, not Martinez.
Oh, sorry.
Rodriguez is in fourth still.
All right.
So they still have a shot at the podium. So
yeah, they're gonna they gotta focus on that. Podium's more important than polka dots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think the polka dot's gonna go to whoever wins this thing.
Yeah,
I think
that's
we'll see in the next couple days that jersey should change. But maybe, I don't know. If you have the yellow jersey, they let someone else wear the polka dot jersey. And so maybe Palace will get to wear the polka dot jersey for a little while.
Yeah, maybe.
It's funny. Like, Pogacar has been in the best young rider jersey and white helmet for the longest time. It's like, you only know him wearing a white helmet. Then you always look at his teammates like, why are they wearing? Oh, yeah, that's right. They're wearing gray helmets because that's actually their team helmet. Do you like the color white for the best young rider?
Sure.
I think you need to haze them a little bit more than that.
It should be white pants. It should be white shorts.
It should be white shorts.
That would be hazing.
Full white. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Good job, Kwiatkowski.
All right. That was fun.
Any thoughts on going into tomorrow, Lance? What are your pick for tomorrow? Matt already thinks that Jonas is going to have his way with that.
We'll see.
I don't know. No, I don't think I would switch my pick from Pogacar.
I think mine's going to stay the same as well.
Yeah.
You going to pick up Kwiatkowski on your fantasy team now that he had a good stage?
No. I'm not. What are you going to do?
I'm leaving it alone. It's working all right for me. I still got...
You got Pidcock in there.
Pidcock. I got Jai Hindley, and I got a few other decent names. There's Pogacar working on his sprint drills right there.
He sprints again.
I wonder if this is just taking a beating on him at all, or if
he keeps doing it every day. Does it seem smart?
By the way, the drugs that I'm on mean that I can sprint every day,
right.
and never like there's no consequences to it.
He just drilled it for the last like 300 meters.
Are we at the point now where it's like the EPO is so good that like whoever sprints the best is going to be like the yellow jersey winner?
Yeah, maybe.
You have to be able to sprint up a mountain to win every day.
Okay, he just rolls off no problem. Like Jonas is like spent and he's got to have a guy come over here and push him up. He's like, push me over.
Little help.
I'm done.
Oh. Jake, did you get a new dog?
I did. You know what? I'll be right back. We'll introduce her on the podcast. Give me one second.
What is her name?
Lola.
Lola.
Lola. There's a song about it. Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton, yes. But wasn't that a euphemism for cocaine?
Oh, was it? Sounds about right.
I think it was.
That sounds possible.
I'm not sure, but I think I seem to have heard that somewhere. Let's propagate Eric Clapton himself. Yeah. Yeah, Jake's got a... it's adorable.
Very cool stage.
There he is, Matt. That's just the response, right? It's just giggle. This is Lola the Augie. So he's half corgi, half Australian Shepherd. So he looks like an Australian Shepherd.
Yeah. She looks like an
Australian Shepherd with no legs.
Right.
She's got corgi legs with an Australian Shepherd blue merle coat. And she plays with the other dog, Zeke, and they're like fast becoming best friends. And it's hilarious because she's constantly jumping on him and pulling at his... Zeke has been wearing for pretty much his whole life a handkerchief around his neck. And it's pretty tattered now because she has shredded that thing to bits and pieces. So, but she's a good little puppy. She's a lot of fun.
What do you think? Say hi, Lola.
You should give it a sniff.
Give it a sniff.
Matt, where can I find you running up... The
you have to have the DVDs of the is it on YouTube? 2003,
you mean?
Yeah, sorry, 2003.
What stage was it? Do you know
whatever the stage to Morzine was? So, okay,
you should know these things. That's like,
I don't. I actually didn't care about cycling back then, I was all running all the time.
100%, yeah,
yeah.
Do you have a screen grab of it or a picture anywhere? No,
nope.
I have to do a little sleuthing here.
I should like find that thing in like. Someone did that a long time ago. He's like, yeah, I've got the DVDs. I've got this. I just don't have any of that stuff. It was a long time ago. If we saw it, it would just be this crappy screen grab of like some
blurry,
sort of
pixelated
240 pixel display of, of.
Were you showing your butt cheeks or were you
shirtless?
That's
the problem. I was shirtless, you were shirtless with short shorts on, of course, and an American flag on my back. And I'm probably 10K to go from the finish in Morzine. So you can find that. And, but yeah, I just, I don't know. I don't think that there's a lot of digital evidence from back in those days.
Yeah, and right. Yeah,
it's interesting. Like now, it's like, yeah, no way. Like if it's always photographed. It's always
there.
Because like there just weren't cell phones. Like we didn't have a way to connect with someone to meet them somewhere. Like we're going to meet you in the train station. It would be by email. Be like, Jake, I'm going to meet you in a train station in Paris. Like, okay, good luck. And we didn't have phones or anything. Like that was just that.
How long have you and Kristen been married now?
I don't know. Seems like forever.
You seriously don't know?
2000, so we're at, is it 13 years or something like
13
that?
13 years,
know.
Okay.
I don't know.
So maybe you guys need to go back at like 20 or something like that. I was hoping it'd be sooner and maybe go sooner and go do the same thing. That'd be fun.
I took her back to Spain where we had our first date to get engaged.
Oh.
It was like a surprise trip. I told her we were going to see my family for Thanksgiving. And we went to Madrid.
Okay.
So slight detour from Alabama to Madrid.
Went all the way to Madrid.
We went to Madrid. We went back to the same plaza that we had our first date. And we had dinner and I popped the question. My plan was like, make it really hard for her to say no. If she says no, don't go home. Just stay in Europe. Because I like Europe.
Just stay there.
That was my plan. That was my whole plan.
Is that Snoop Dogg up there on the podium with him with the shaved head now? Hold on, you'll see what I'm talking about in just a second.
Snoop Dogg's in this one. Snoop Dogg's in this stage.
Come on, pan out. We've got a type shot. Oh, you got to get in closer to see what he looks like. He looked like Snoop Dogg a little bit. Sorry.
The podium clapper.
I think we've been married for almost 17 years now. I don't know. Gosh, I'll ask me when, in like a couple more weeks when we have an anniversary, and I'll tell you my.
When is your anniversary?
26, like the end of the month.
July 26th.
No, August.
Oh, August. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
We got a little time. Cool. I'll be able to figure it out before then.
All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about
Pidcock in eighth place now. Sepp Kuss moved up to 10th.
So Pinot got dropped.
Yeah.
After his big stage yesterday, Pinot didn't stay with them.
Wasn't Gadoo one of Evan's picks?
Yes.
He's in ninth place. That's pretty good for Evan.
Yeah. He's still.
He's sinking though.
What are you talking about? This is the best Evan's ever done.
Okay, you're right. He still has both the Yates brothers. Also, he still has Fabio Jakobsen on his team who dropped out yesterday.
And he doesn't. Well, the fantasy thing is different than our like. Because last year we didn't even talk about the fantasy picks when I was crushing it every single day. You guys were like, well, don't worry about fantasy picks. That doesn't matter. It's all about the podcast picks.
Who did. Yeah, but.
But I think. I think Price picked
to win the whole thing.
Yeah,
Simon Yates, wasn't it?
I think it was. It was Yates and
Gadoo was on his list,
and
I think maybe Vingegaard or something.
I don't know.
And I think he has Pogacar like not finishing,
not on the podium. Yeah,
looking good, Price. Looking good.
I'm sorry, American
but I will
boy
say
right
that
there.
At least he's taking chances with his picks, and we didn't, the three of us.
So. No, we didn't.
We went with the steady Freddy Eddie, the guys that have finished top two in the past couple.
Newsflash. I don't think, I think he honestly, he wasn't trying to be like, you know, controversial or like coming out. He honestly feels those two guys are like the best riders. Like he's not just trying to do it to be different to, you know, whatever.
But like, I like that that's even better.
He took
it's
a chance.
It's even better that he's like, no, these are the guys.
Yeah. He'll die on his hill, right? This little puppy, she wants to go play and bite things.
I know she took a swipe at the microphone.
That sounds like my day. I want to go bike things.
What are you going to do? You going to go bike today?
Yeah, I'll go bike today. I rode.
Did you crash recently?
I did crash. Yeah.
When did you crash?
Look at my my arms off.
What happened?
Was that mountain biking in the park the other day? You jackal! What did you do?
I was ripping red tape. I was trying to go as fast as possible, and that's.
What'd you break on the bike
this
time?
Crash. I didn't break anything. The bars were bent. Entirely, but I just had to straighten them and I kept going. Yeah, we had a little dial dirt school Wednesday night.
Is that when you did it?
Yeah.
You went to dirt school?
I went.
All right.
And Randy Frost showed up and Mike Hamness showed up and Ed Douglas was there and a couple prospective teammates were there.
Sure.
And Yeah, we did little loops in the park, and we were just ripping as fast as we were just drilling each other on the mountain bike. It was a ton of fun. It was very fun. And I was trying to see if I could set a new PR on red tape, and because I've been riding better and
don't do this.
I was taking a corner and bunny hopping over two logs and landed in the ditch and missed the trail.
I'm glad you're okay. Lance.
Yeah, I'm totally fine. I mean, like,
you lost some skin.
I just lost some skin.
Anybody see this happen?
Nobody saw it happen because I was way ahead of everybody else.
Gotcha.
I was like, I stood up, fixed my bars, scraped myself off, and rode to the end of the trail before anybody caught me.
Breaking news: there's Nielsen Palace.
Is he just finishing?
Oh, he hasn't even finished yet.
In the gruppetto here, just a bunch of guys with like long faces.
Which it doesn't even matter, right? Because he doesn't care about his overall time.
No.
He's all...
And he knew he wasn't getting... Oh, Wout's in it too. Wout's in the gruppetto.
Now, he didn't do work today, so do you think that they're saving him for tomorrow?
It's possible.
Yeah.
I think he knows that these are not good mountains for him.
Right.
I don't know. He won Mount Blanc too. I keep going back to that. So
this is a big group.
It is.
Well, they've already had podiums. They've already had all. Well, wait. They just had the winner's podium. They can't do the polka dot podium because Nielsen isn't there yet.
So tomorrow would be a good stage to send someone off the front, like Wout.
And there's Vanderpool back there.
Yep. Yeah.
How far back? 23 minutes.
Tomorrow would be the perfect stage to send someone off the front.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then help with the last climb. That's what I would be thinking if I was Jumbo Visma.
I think that you're probably right, Matt. I really do.
Look at this group.
This is Wout's group behind that group. Oh, good. He's handing out his bottle to somebody.
That was Wilco Kilderman, right?
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite. I like him. I like the guy.
He just gave his bottle to a fan.
Yeah, like a little kid. And
does anybody know how much Wout gets paid to wear that helmet?
Oh, I bet a lot.
There's a fine every day.
And they pay for him.
And Red Bull pays the fine. To the UCI. I don't know if the UCI changed this rule. I'm guessing they haven't because nobody else does it. That's only Wout does it.
So, Red Bull, I think, pays. They want the top.
Yeah.
Red Bull's interesting. It's interesting that they have their little pro team and it's some of the best athletes. They do some couple triathletes. I think, you know, Red Bull's trying to get Evan Price as one of their athletes.
I'm trying to woo him away from what's that crazy one that he drinks, like Ghost or something like that?
Yeah, Ghost, maybe.
Jonas. He's like, look at me smiling.
He looks good.
8 seconds.
My last day in yellow.
He only has my last day.
Take it all in all of its glory.
I think he's good. I think he's good.
Here, let me throw these flowers to you. He's going to chuck them?
I don't think that the whole plan was to
There they go. One. No. Oh,
he psyched out.
Psych. Did he just take his hand and roll over his head?
I think yesterday he was like, yeah, my kid likes these little lion stuffed animals. I'm like, yeah.
He's got a few of them.
Sure.
Seriously, why didn't you throw the flowers? He like seriously like looked at somebody. He's like, hey, you want these? He's like, did a little fake.
9 seconds. Jai Hindley, 2 minutes and 51 seconds back. Any chance you guys think that someone, I mean, there's always a chance that someone cracks.
It's just if somebody cracks. Because all these top 10 guys, like David Gaddu was not there. Was he there? Maybe he was.
I don't know.
But all these top guys finished together. They all the favorites finished together.
Gaddu's he's a talented rider. I just don't think that he's got the pop that the rest of these guys have. And I don't think that we've really seen them uncork yet. And I think when it does uncork, he's going to be done.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some people that are going to be, you know, in that, I don't know, like that 11th to 20th place that are going to like, set their sights on this that maybe we haven't seen, and they're going to get some big chunks of time on a breakaway day, and all of a sudden he's not going to be in the top 10 anymore.
That could happen.
Pretty sure that it will.
Oh, I love this. They're interviewing Vingegaard right now, and he's got a smile on his face. To me, that's like the whole point of like, what attitude does he have? Is he in this point where he's like, oh, I keep losing stages, I keep losing time? To me, it doesn't look like that to me. He looks like he's like, I'm biding my time. And he said, like, this stage doesn't suit me that well. Like, it's on. Next couple days.
Many That's climbs tomorrow. Many climbs the next day.
That's why they race.
I
think everyone has a good attitude. Obviously, Pogacar's happy. Everyone's in a good mood. No one's like, yeah, this tour has beat me. I am done.
Yeah.
Pogacar's a good dude. Yep. He's always, after all the races, he's going, making the rounds, saying hi to everybody, giving everybody hugs and high fives and telling him great job and smile on his face.
He's like, I think he's well liked for a good reason. Like, he pokes fun at people too. Yep. Like, he was making fun of Wout the other day or whatever on the, did you guys see that?
Yeah, because when Wout lost one of the stages, he took out his water bottle and just like slammed it on the ground. And then, and Pogacar was doing his cool down and
And the announcers were like, oh, he looks so angry. And he took his water bottle and he threw it down. And then all of a sudden he starts laughing and everyone's like, oh, he's making fun of Wout. It was great. But it's good to see Pogacar like joke around and stuff like that. You could see like, he's easy to like. Yeah.
4 minute and 39 second lead on Carlos Rodriguez for the white jersey. Pogacar is still wearing white. Was it like 60 plus stages or 90 stages or something ridiculous like that?
64.
64, that's crazy.
64 stages.
Got dogs going at it back here, wrestling. It's pretty fun. Is he getting the most aggressive rider today? Is that?
Yes, yeah.
Nice.
Is that what that is?
Kwiatkowski got the most aggressive as well.
Where would you be at on this ride? Would you still be at the bottom. Base of the climb?
Probably not. I wouldn't even be there.
I'd be at the sitting base in the of bushes, the, eating of the a climb 50 kilometers.
I'd be in some sort of car getting a ride.
E-bike it. E-bike. Keep up with them, yeah. They probably still drop even on the e-bike.
The e-bike only has so much battery.
Yep.
Nielsen's like, I just finished. Give me a minute.
His mouth is full of food.
He's trying to eat something.
Again, also in a looks to be in really good spirits.
Yeah, just smiling like,
yep.
This is like dream tour for me at the moment.
I think this is his last day in the polka dot jersey. I mean, officially, unofficially, he might get to wear it because someone else has the polka dots and also a yellow jersey in addition to that.
Now, something that would be fun.
46 points to 31.
Pro cycling would be like Major League Baseball does this pretty often, and especially during like things like the All-Star game. Like they'll mic up a player that's going to be on the field, or they'll mic up a coach and they'll talk with him. Like Freddie Freeman is, you know, always doing this whole mic'd up thing, and he's always like interacting with the guys in the booth, and he's interacting with the players and doing funny things, but he's still out there getting it done. And it's a lot of fun to watch if you haven't, go check that out. But that would be kind of fun to mic up some of these different, racers to kind of get some.
They do listen to the team radio,
which is cool. That's a newer thing, which is
super interesting.
Yeah.
The other thing that they started a couple years ago was having a couple riders use GoPros.
Yeah.
Which is usually when they crash or something that and they can actually pull GoPro footage. It's like, whoa, this is too close. I don't want to be this close to the action here, guys. Feel like I'm
but if they can mic up a rider, like Nielsen would be a great person to chat with.
Yeah.
Because you know, he's just fun. He's,
I think no one wants to do it when they're actually really racing for, you know, jerseys or points or whatever it is, but they could probably get someone to do it. It would probably just be like one of his teammates.
Yeah.
So.
I also like Christian on the bike this year too, the motorbike.
Yes.
That's been, at first I'm like, oh dude, I'm sorry, you got demoted.
Benfield. I know. That's what I was worried about. Like, does he like it?
He seems like he's having fun, and it's pretty cool because he's got rapport with a lot of these people, and he's witty, he's funny, he's you know, poking fun and having fun, and it's been neat to listen to him give his insight from inside the peloton and talking to different team cars. Yeah,
the riders and the team directors will talk to him.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's funny when they're getting a little bit coy, and he starts poking at them a little bit more and whatnot. That's fun to watch.
That is fun to watch.
But I think that would be a good move. If they can somehow make it work. I mean, these guys are already all kind of mic'd up and they're connected with their team cars. So why couldn't they add another band to that, or figure some sort of like a transponder that could have like two channels and be able to talk with their team car, but then maybe switch or something like that. Then all of a sudden they can talk with the broadcaster. To the mic,
yeah.
If they could pipe into the same like team radio stuff and be like, and you get to talk to the broadcasters if you want, you know, like that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
It's super interesting. Especially if they kind of can it a little bit where they could be like, you know, 5 minutes ago we caught up with Pogacar and he just talks through the radio or whatever to the broadcasters. That'd be pretty interesting. But I mean, it would still be scratchy radio audio. It wouldn't be like crystal clear digital audio.
Better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
It'd be fun to have an open mic too, just to listen to the jawing that goes on with these guys in the races.
Yes, it would. Yeah, I could almost get like some sort of not boom mic, but like one of those mics that you can kind of
the directional, like the
little radar mics.
Yeah, exactly.
What do they call those things?
I don't know.
Anyway, they could do that with some of the cars that they have so close by. Or
yeah.
Anyway. Be interesting.
what's Christian got to say here?
He's saying Vingigo's happy.
Why wouldn't he be? He's still wearing yellow.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you boys want to cover?
Yeah, I got to hit the road.
That's fun.
Yeah, good times. We will hopefully do another one of these. If you guys have your schedules available, we'll set something up. Stay tuned. All right. All right. Thanks for listening. We will be back with another one of these. Who knows when? Until then, bye for now.